For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. We are live from Jets camp on this picturesque, beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in Florham Park, New Jersey. We are joined by a guy beginning his third year here on the New York Jets, and that's Solomon Thomas. Solomon, you know Tiki. I'm Evan Roberts. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, appreciate you guys.
The first thing I noticed is you said to Tiki, you're a big fan.
Yeah.
Now, is that pandering, or are you a big Tiki Barber football fan?
No, I lived in Connecticut 3 years growing up, and so the closest team to us was the Giants, so I had a Tiki Barber jersey growing up.
How old were you at that time?
I think I was like 7 or 8.
Right, that makes me old as hell. That's what that makes me.
Did you want to be a running back when you were 7 and 8 like Tiki Barber and then got too big and said, all right, screw it, I'll do this?
I mean, yeah, I think growing up you always want to be like the cool players, like running back, receiver, quarterback, but yeah. But then I took pride in being a lineman, you know, the getting my hands dirty, being in the trenches, you know, you end up loving that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, you're one of the glue guys with this team, and specifically Coach Sala, and you know, the journey that he's been on, the journey that this team has been on, you've been a part of it. How have you seen it evolve? Because I mean, there's 3,000 fans here today. There's an excitement about this Jets team. How have you seen this thing come to be what it is now?
I've really just seen guys buy into the program, buy into what Coach Sala is telling us, and just believing in the process. You know, last 2 years have been hard. You know, they've been a grind. But believing that, you know, the future is bright, believing in, you know, focusing on each day, being present each day, you know, building a culture here, building a foundation here that's going to take us deep into February. So that's what we're doing here. And I'm just really proud of the guys, the maturity. You know, there's a lot of distractions here. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of noise. And we're just focusing on each other, focusing on each day, and being present and just building something special.
What is the biggest distraction here? Is it the media? Is it the expectations? When you say distractions, what do you specifically mean?
Definitely talking about expectations, media, you know, especially like younger guys coming in. You're not used to it. I came from Stanford, so like, there's really no media. There's really no talk about football. And then you come into the NFL, there's like noise everywhere you look. There's something. Social media, there's... Everyone has an opinion and a voice now that you have to look at or see, and you have to learn how to ignore that. You have to learn how to focus on what really matters. And so being younger, it's harder. So like, but we have a young team. We have also a lot of vets in this team too. And then like showing the guys how to focus on what matters, how to be present, how to care about like what the team is really about. It has been special, and that's why I feel like, you know, we're really making those steps to be that special team, to be that next team.
He's given the right answer. I thought he was going to come and keep it real. But Solomon, you know the real distraction. Is it Hassan Reddick's not here? I'm joking, but not really. But is it a distraction for you guys, or do you guys not notice it? You know what I mean?
Honestly, we haven't noticed it. You know, I'm a guy. I'm for the players. I'm for Hassan getting his money. I'm for him, you know, doing his thing. And all of us are supporting him, and we're supporting the Jets as well. But at the same time, we got to focus on who's here. We got to focus on what is here. And that's what we're doing right now. We have a great D-line right now. We're playing our tails off. We're all getting better. We're all playing, you know, the best football we've played and showing up. So that's all we're worried about right now.
Yeah.
You know, when he gets here, he'll get here, and he'll be a beast because he's a beast. He's had 50 sacks the last 3 years. He's an unbelievable player. No one here is worried about Hassan. But we're worried about the guys here making sure that we are ready to be the best D-line that we can be, because even with who we got right now, we believe we can be one of the best.
Yeah, it's interesting because you said coming from Stanford, but you went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And the philosophy at the time, and it probably is still that way, was we're building these big dudes in the trenches, right? We're getting edge rushers. We're going to put pressure on the quarterback. If the Jets are the same way, right? It's led defensively. We've talked about this all going back into last year, leading into this year. This team is going to ride on defense. I know you're missing Hassan Reddick here, but if he does get here, how much better does this Jet defense come? Because it was pretty damn elite a year ago.
I mean, he's a special player. I mean, the rate that he's gotten the ball out on the quarterback, the sack fumbles he's had, the sacks he's had, he's going to take this to make this defense better, obviously. That's the kind of player he is. He's an impact player. But no matter what, you know, whether he's here or not, we believe in this defense. But he definitely, Hassan is one special player. He's going to make this team a better team for sure.
We're talking to Solomon Thomas of the New York Jets. Have you talked to Hassan Reddick since he got traded here?
No, I have not, no. But I know Hassan from the draft. We're the same draft class, same agency. Right. So I've talked to him a bunch before. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the holdout's been going on. I was in and out of OTAs. He wasn't here. So, no, we haven't talked about it yet.
The reason I bring that up is that this is so different, in my opinion, just as a fan from other holdouts, in that, like, I know you guys traded for him, but is he really even a teammate? Because you haven't had OTAs with him. You haven't played with him. So it's – I almost look at it as – and tell me if I'm wrong as a player – that it's very different than the holdout of a guy who – was your teammate or is your teammate, mm-hmm. because you're like, oh, he's not here. This guy's never been here. So does that make this situation a little different than maybe your traditional holdout?
I mean, to me, no. I mean, he's a Jet. He's one of my teammates. He's one of my brothers. And that's how we all look at it. We're our brother's keepers. We hold each other down in this league. You know, a league that, you know, is kind of sometimes against the players and the players don't have mm-hmm. a voice. I'm always going to stand with the players. So we stand with Hassan, whether he's been here or not. We love Hassan, whether he's been here or not. We want to see him get his money.
All right, so even though I'm not a Jet fan, I'm a Giant, obviously, I'm going to tell you this on behalf of all Jet fans. Call up your agency, call up your agent, and tell him to get his ass here. Got that? We're good. The other story, Solomon, is obviously it's obviously Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And I was here last year at camp, and I mean, the buzz around him was you could feel it right in the air. And, you know, the injury happened and the season, you guys struggled in the season. He's back now, and it's like, take two. How does it feel to have him back and doing what Aaron Rodgers does?
Man, it's so cool. It's so cool. I mean, I alluded to it before when I had a press conference, and it really is like having an MJ Kobe-esque type player around you. Like, the way he works, the way he demands his teammates, the knowledge he has, like the way he get, the competitiveness he brings. You don't get that from, like, all your star players all the time. Like, it is a once-in-a-lifetime type player, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to learn from somebody like that.
Right.
I've never experienced it in my life. I know nobody here has experienced in life unless they play with that caliber of player. It's just a different, like, energy that they bring, and it makes the whole team better. It makes you not want to disappoint a player like that. It makes you want to rise to the level that he brings. So it's been fun. It's been cool. Learning from him has been just such a great feeling. Like, I feel like I've become a better person, a better player, and that's one thing about Aaron. He's not just a football player. He's going to tell you how to be a better person, how to take care of your body better. Even, like, use better soaps, like, whatever it is, like, as weird as that is, like, he's gonna make sure that you are the best human you can be.
It's almost, that's the side we don't see.
Yeah.
Right? We see what people will consider quirks, and we judge and do whatever. We opine from afar, but the reality is it's appreciated.
Yeah. It is very appreciated, and the guys in the locker room love him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all that we care about. That's the only noise we care about is that we love him.
So you're trying to tell me, because I was told by some people, like my friend over here, Sean, I was told by him and other haters that he didn't show up to OTAs. Oh, my God! Like, this is going to break the team apart. Can you believe that diva, that he didn't show up? So what you're trying to tell me is that did not break apart the roster despite him not being here.
I don't think anybody cared on the team. Huh. I think we know who Aaron is. We know what we know how prepared he is. We're the last person. He's the last person we're ever worried about for not being here.
Yeah, you're just mad because he didn't take him with you.
Yeah, I wish. I mean,
can we go to Egypt?
I would love to go.
I am curious. We're talking to Solomon Thomas. So last year, over the course of the season, there were many days we would come on the air, I as a diehard Jet fan, and say this defense played well enough to win. This defense is elite. This defense is great. And yet the offense is the reason you didn't win a game. How difficult is it as a competitor to not get annoyed at the other side of the ball, because you guys did enough to win more games than you did, and more times than not, it was their fault? How do you keep yourself from not being mad at the other side for not doing their job?
Those are your teammates, and you love them, you know, and you never want to point the finger as being a competitor. A true competitor always looks within. And how can I be better? How can I make this team better? Yes, we played at a rate where we should have been winning, but we still could have done more to get the wins done. And, you know, we're always going to support our guys. We're going to have their back no matter what. So it's never pointing the finger and say it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. We are a team. It's us. It's our. That's how we talk here. And that's why this team is so close. It's a special locker room. You know, we have rookies coming in. telling the D-line, like, I've never had teammates like this before. Teammates who take care of me. Teammates who show me how to play the game. Teammates who show me how to win and love each other. Like, it's, we bring that environment, and it's really, really cool because that's not normal in the NFL. You don't have all these teams that are just really bringing everyone along with them. Competitiveness can bring out some ugliness sometimes, and guys not telling the truth, guys not really bringing people along with them, but we're, that's not us here. We want everyone to be our best so we can be our best, and that's what we do here.
Before we let you go, I mean, I talked about this with you last year, the managing the expectation, managing the pressure of the expectation. How are you guys doing that?
I think we're just doing that by the same present, focus on each day. Like, last year, we definitely got caught up in our heads, you know. We had Hard Knocks, we had all the expectation, Aaron here for the first time, and we were thinking about February and August. But now we're thinking about just August 13th. Being August 13th, how can we be the best team August 13th? Then worry about the 14th. And just build, 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 and build until we can be that best team to take us to February, and we can bring that, win that ring.
You're one of the guys that can answer this. Is there a difference between Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator in San Francisco, versus Robert Saleh, the head coach here with the Jets?
For sure, for sure. He's definitely, he can be more of himself, and he can really let out, like, who he wants to be, and his energy, and his passion, and his intensity. He can really let that out. Like, I don't feel like he was held back in San Fran at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he can really be his full, authentic self here.
Simon, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Stay healthy. Have a hell of a year.
Appreciate
good
you guys.
You. Thank you, man. Solomon Thomas, you grew up a Tiki Barber fan. We are back here at Jets camp from a guy who we all love watching. He flies around the football field and wants to harm people in a good way. And I'm talking about Quincy Williams, who got screwed from not being a Pro Bowler last year. Let me say that. Quincy, Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber, thank you very much for coming
on. What's good? What's good? Thanks for having me.
That's all right. Pro Bowl don't mean nothing when you're all pro.
Yeah, but I still want that stamp, too. Right. I need both of them.
I was going to ask you that, like, because in a weird way, all pro is more impressive than Pro Bowl.
Right.
So did that make it like, screw the Pro Bowl, it doesn't even matter?
Nah, I'm one of the ones, like, I set my goals, and I want to check all my goals out. So all pro, Pro Bowl still on my goal list, so it don't matter.
How much did you weigh in high school?
Man, high school, I was also a swimmer, too, though. So
get
it was,
out. Really?
For real. I'm a Dream Olympic swimmer, so be honest, man. I ain't touched 200. Probably. Like, I was small, man.
Really?
I was small.
Really? So how did you evolve into this guy?
Really just when I got to college, man, just like locking in on the program and stuff. Murray State took a chance on me, and that was the biggest thing. So it's like now forming into a linebacker. Actually decided to just do one sport because it was kind of hard losing weight to swim, but then gaining weight during the summertime trying to play, get ready for football season. Right. So actually when I locked in on one sport, that's when I kind of picked my way up.
It's funny you say that because when me and my twin brother were choosing schools, one of the caveats that we had, we talked to the coaches about it. I was like, you got to let us run track. I love track and field. I want to run track. And eventually, I had to decide, am I going to be a long jumper and weigh 180 pounds, or am I going to be a running back and weigh 200 pounds? You wanted to do both in college?
Or I didn't want to do both in college. I was doing both in high school, and my grandma was like, hey, this kind of a lot because the meal plan would change, and I'd be like, all right, I need more protein. Then it goes to like, all right, I need less protein, more vegetables. So she made me choose probably like 10th grade, I had to end up choosing.
That's cool.
What
no
made
idea.
You choose football over swimming?
So my siblings play football. So it was one of those things where I'm like, all right, I can still connect with my siblings also. And then also I can go to school for it too, though.
If you had picked swimming in this alternate universe, you think you would have won a gold 2 weeks ago or last week?
I would have won a gold. My objective is always going to win the gold. Hey, but I heard that flag football is going to be in 2028, so I still might get a chance to win a gold.
You're in on that if they allow you?
Yeah, for real.
I think you have a better chance at that. I mean, do we have black swimmers?
I don't know.
I think there's a couple.
I watched it that much.
Quincy, there's a rumor going around that excites me so much if it's true. All right? It was reported on NFL Network by Peter Schrager that the Jets have this wrinkle up their sleeve with the new kickoff rule that you are going to be the kicker.
Man, I talked to Boyer about it a couple of times, just to let him know, like, I kicked in high school, you know, I might be able to get it there, you know, but he was like, I kind of like a positional kick. I haven't really tried that practice. I might have to try it a couple of times after practice, get a couple of them in, but I'm open for it.
It makes a lot of sense because you get another tackler on the field. We know how good you are, and if you can just get it into that zone area, like the 10-yard line or wherever
the landing zone, the inside the 20.
Yeah.
Then it totally makes sense. So this is something that's not legitimately going to happen? It's more something you're fantasizing about.
More something I'm fantasizing about. Then also, it's an extra play too, though. So
I used to always
get my tackle sheet up.
Right, that'd be the same way with me. Can I get on the field and get some punt returns? Me? Can I get another touch?
They done kicked me off field goal block and stuff. So I'm like, all right, I got another chance to get on the field now.
Wait a second, I got to be fair about this. If you were going to kick, you wouldn't tell us because it's supposed to be by surprise. So can you blink twice if this is already going to happen?
Let's talk about your breakout season last year. It felt like you were on every single play. What clicked for you? I know it was cool because you're playing with your brother, obviously, right. But what clicked with you that made you so comfortable in this system?
Really, it was more like locking in instead of just playing off ability. One of those things was like, all right, let's see how do I fit into this defense as far as like, the big scheme type thing. So knowing that, all right, I got my buzz play outside of me, I got my hook play outside of me, so if I take my shot right here, where am I going to take my shots type thing. So it's really just locking in on the playbook, and then also working with CJ on anticipating plays. That helped me out a whole lot.
Right.
So the game has slowed down really, and then it was a lot more fun because, I mean, like, I know the tight end motion, and then it's kind of funny because I'd be joking around, be like, hey, come on in, come on in. Then he ended up coming in, and I was like, all right, just run right. You know, so just laughing and joking about it and stuff like that. So it just made the game more fun, really.
Yeah, how great has it been playing with your brother? You know, I never got a chance to do it other than the Pro Bowls, which they don't even play in games anymore. But what was it? What's it like? I mean, that's got to be
amazing.
A dream.
It's amazing because, like you said, it's a person that that's really like your wife, like family's your mm-hmm. wife. So it's more a person that, like, when you get constructive criticism from your brother, it's coming from a place where you know for a fact, like, it's a pure place. Because let's talk about it. When we was younger, we played on the same team, but mm-hmm. also we dreamed about the same thing at the same house. So it's like, he know how much I want this the same way I know how much he want this. So the constructive criticism is real. And then also, when I see him make a play, I get to celebrate with him then. So we kind of do each other celebrations too when each other make plays.
Do you also bicker because you're brothers? Like, do you always have the sibling rivalry continuing?
Oh, we got the sibling rivalry right now. I got bragging rights. I can't wait to the family dinner because I got... 37th in the 100?
Oh, that's right.
I got bragging rights from last year, though.
It's amazing because, and this shows my ignorance, but it probably shows what you knew you can do. When you were cut by Jacksonville and the Jets signed you, and it was after one of those, like, pre-Labor Day cuts, and they mm-hmm. brought you in, I was like, who the heck is he? I go, oh, he's Quinnen's brother, I guess. Yeah. And I looked at your stats, and I looked at how many games you played. I said, you never know. And then watching you, I was like, how did the Jaguars miss on this? So what happened upon your arrival 2 years ago that turned you from what you were in Jacksonville to a guy, and I said it at the top, who I enjoy watching more than almost anybody else mm-hmm. on defense because of the way you play the game? What kind of changed for you?
It was really one of those things where, like, the coaching staff actually, like, leaned into my superpower. So we got here. Rudy was my first linebacker coach, but then he ended up leaving the Jaguars. So it was like getting a different coach every single year, switching scheme and stuff like that. Then when I got here, I came back into a scheme where I was comfortable in, where I can roam around, where I'm free to, like, run around and stuff like that. And I get to use my superpower and things like that. So when I got here, more just locking in on the plays and things like that. And then also I got a coach who already knows how to basically teach me the position, because I'm going to be honest with you, I was a safety coming out of school, and it was coming from a small school, so I really didn't understand the linebacker position. We joke about it all the time. I didn't even know what a pulling guard was. I didn't even know I was supposed to go back with the pulling guard.
Follow that guy. He'll take you to the play. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So that was the biggest thing. When I got here, I mean, I got a coach that knows how to coach me, and then also I'm in a scheme where it suits my superpower.
Yeah, let me jump to a league-wide thing. They just instituted a couple of new rules. I think the one that affects you potentially the most is the hip drop tackle.
Use that one. I like the hip backwards.
Right, and so it's interesting because I was at the CBS NFL meetings yesterday, and we were trying to talk through it and why it happens, and, you know, it hurts so many players. That's why they decided to ban it. But when you think about, you know, hitting a running back or hitting a wide receiver or even hitting a quarterback, it's almost unintentional, but that could happen. Were you guys think about it, or were you coached differently this preseason because of that new rule?
Really? That one is more of one of those things where we're incorporating what we call the gator roll. So it's the same type thing, but you're not swinging your feet up under. You're more like grabbing them and twisting. So it's more like a wrap tap and twisting. It's a lot more safer for you, and then it's also a lot more safer for that player also. So instead of, like, dropping your weight down on his leg, you're dropping your weight next to him and you're twisting. So, like, you're twisting his whole body,
yeah,
and not just, you feel me, like, one body part.
But you guys were taught that. right?
The Gator Roll.
You guys were taught the Gator Roll.
So it's basically like one of those things where you go back to Little League, where it's the fundamental football, like the rights of tackling, using the right side shoulder, keeping your head up type thing. And then also, I got a lot of unnecessary roughness penalties that last year just because they're, I guess the league wasn't really used to having a person who's hit hard every single time. So it's another one of those things where it's like your target zone, where it's like players are know you're a hard hitter, so they're embracing for the tackle, so they're dropping down. So it's knowing that, hey, that they're going to drop down, so you have to lower your tackle. I mean, your hitting point.
Right, right. So you're not going high on them and getting those head to head personal fouls that are devastating, obviously, because
it's not on purpose, obviously, to your wallet, but
it's also well, because it's 15-yard penalties, right?
Yeah, kills the drive for real, make the drive a lot longer.
Especially when it's like third down and you think you're off the field, then it's like, oh crap, here we go. We're talking to Quincy Williams, the 37th best player in the NFL according to NFL Network. This defense, I remember last year DJ Reed said 85 Bears-esque. What are your expectations for how good this defense can be this year in 24?
The standard, that's kind of like our mindset. Last year, it was more like we're putting ourselves where we want to be. This year is more.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
But like building off what we did last year and keeping it a standard. So last year our mindset going in was being the number one defense. This year it's the same mindset also. But most importantly, each position group basically wants to be number one, which mm-hmm. means it takes our defense to number one, which also helps out our offense too because they get more possessions on the field. So those games where we think like, offense, all right, don't worry about it. Just give us a field goal. We good. You feel me? We can win the game 3-0.
Right. You know, it's just you're now a couple years with Brick, Coach Olbrich, and how has it evolved? Right? How has this defense started to become really into it? You said superpowers.
Yeah.
There's so many guys on your defensive side of the ball that feel like superheroes, you know, in the football sense. They're great at what they do, from Sauce to your brother to you, obviously. Hey, how are you guys evolving as the years start to pound on?
The biggest thing is the conversations we have, really. So it's not like a you coach, I play type mindset with Britt. The biggest thing, he comes in every single week, like, what y'all feeling? And then also we hit something in practice, we go over the meetings, he's like, hey, what made you do this? So he's not one of those coaches that's on the sideline. It's like, well, I seen this from the sideline. Mm-hmm. He actually, when we get to the sidelines, like, what y'all seeing out there? What are you guys seeing out there? So then we're playing into his superpower, so he know what to call, and he know what we like to run. And it's kind of like those things where, like I say, you play into our superpowers. Right. Like, hey, we feeling comfortable doing this. So we not really thinking. You just running and hitting.
3-4 years now living in New Jersey, New York. Grew up in Alabama. Do you feel like a true New Yorker, New Jerseyer now?
Man, I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I'm gonna feel like that. I like going back home, man. You feel me? I like the land. I like the grass, man. You get here.
We got grass here. Man. We got land.
You go into New York, man. I ain't seen a tree in New York in the city.
So it's a little intimidating when you go into. It's the just concrete jungle, as they say.
Man, it's a fast. It's just fast. Everybody moving. Ain't a lot of, you know, you hold a dough for one person, you're going to end up holding the dough for a lot of people.
So the Southern hospitality is kind of different.
Like, you hold that dough for one person, it might be about 50. You might be standing there for a little minute.
Well, I can't wait until week one in San Francisco when the Jets win the coin toss and they defer. Out comes Quincy to kick it off with the new kickoff rules. I think it's going to be awesome. I love it. I hope it happens. Thank you very much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me again, y'all.
Appreciate you, dude.
Appreciate it. Quincy Williams, all pro in 2023. We got more coming up live from Jets Camp. Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. Live from Jets Camp on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in New York City.
You just heard from Quincy Williams, who he's turned into one of my favorite Jets over the last couple of years. And you heard from Solomon Thomas. And I have to admit, and I knew this going in because this is just the way the world works when it involves the preseason in the NFL. You have expectations for your team, and then you go to training camp, and you watch your favorite team. Whether it's the New York Giants, something Sean and Lugie did last week.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's the New York Jets, something we've done today. We have been fortunate enough to talk to some Jet players. You guys have heard it. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. And it sucks you in. It sucks you in into believing, wow, this is going to work.
I think the Jet fan believes already. I don't think they need to hear from the players the enthusiasm or not really enthusiasm. I don't think it was that from the players. I think it's more like this concentration, this focus on accomplishing what they've set out to do. And so it actually feels comforting,
it
I
does,
would say.
Because it seems more relaxed, more focused, more business.
Yes.
And it's not that. And look, I can only speak for myself. I'm one Jet fan. We're all individuals with our own brains. So I can only express to you how I feel. I have conflicting emotions. The one side of me, we call this the brain side of Evan, looks at the New York Jets and says, this is a damn good football team. This is a damn good defense. This is a team that better make the playoffs. This is a team that can go on a deep playoff run. This is a team that when I put my head down on my pillow, I believe of all the teams I root for, and it's not that far off, is the closest team to winning a championship. And so my brain tells me this is going to be fun. This is going to be great. They're going to the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. That's the brain side of me. And I think my brain is pretty accurate that on paper the Jets have a damn good team. And then you've got the heart side of me. The person that deep down knows that all the New York Jets have ever done is stomp on our hearts and break our hearts and do it usually in spectacular fashion. Whether it's shocking fashion like a torn Achilles on opening night or it's incompetent quarterback play or whatever it is. And so those are the two things, Tiki, that me and a lot of other Jet fans wrestle with. Brain versus heart.
I think the hard part about the heart side of this, the brain, I think, is actually accurate this
year. Thank you.
Not yours. I'm talking about fans.
Oh. Thought I was getting a compliment.
All right. But yours, too, since you are a fan.
Thanks.
You look at what's on paper, and it just makes sense. It's like, hey, dude, we should be good. We have a good defense. We have a great skill position players on offense. We got an all-timer at quarterback, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think the heart part of this is the harder one to wrap your – like, or at least let free and let the reality of this moment come to fruition. So last year with the Aaron Rodgers injury, before the Aaron Rodgers injury, it was exactly the same. Your brain was saying, dude, we're going to be good.
Yes.
Your heart was saying, okay, let's just see it, but I just kind of trust. And you left yourself vulnerable, and then he gets hurt, and you're left with Zach Wilson, who we know what Zach Wilson's plight was, and it let your heart down.
Yes.
It made you frustrated and mad and angry and sad and everything else. And this year, they're trying to protect better against that. Now, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is getting hurt, but if he does, Tyrod Taylor's a pretty good quarterback.
That's a big, big kind of protection plan.
Exactly. So maybe you're not winning 12 games and riding freely into the postseason, getting to the divisional round easily, but at least you have a shot.
Right.
And I think last year it hurt your heart so bad because you knew as soon as Aaron Rodgers got hurt, it was like, dude, we don't have a shot. Yeah, we can win some games, but don't have an actual shot to what the preseason expectations
Well, the preseason expectations, you're right. I talked myself into believing they could still be a playoff team.
Oh, boy.
Well, you could old boy me. It came from a place of history. It came from 2009 and 2010. Like, the Jets didn't have this high-octane offense back then, but they were carried by a defense, and I believe that this defense that the Jets employ right now, coached by Robert Saleh, is better than the defense from 9 and 10 that got to back-to-back championship games. I believe that. They certainly have a better pass rush than they had back in 09 and 10. So I think that my brain told me, and I was wrong, and maybe it was my heart kind of wanting me to believe that, hey, the Super Bowl you could forget about, but they could still compete. The problem was I underestimated
how freaking awful Zach Wilson was. I did. And I also underestimated how bad the offensive line could be and some of the play-calling decisions by your boy.
Especially with some of these injuries.
I downplayed all of it, but I do feel better about the backup plan in case break glass in case of emergency. And it does feel similar to last year in that you're going into the year with that same idea of, my God, if they could just put together, like, decent offensive play to go along with this defense, that's 10 games by accident, and you're in the postseason.
And they have one more benefit going for the Jets, which is why I picked them, by the way, to win more games than you did.
You picked them to go 16-1.
I did, and I feel even better about it, by the way, hanging around some of these players. You won't find a more pro-Jet fan than me. The division, Evan.
What about it?
The Bills losing so many players on that defense. No Stephon Diggs. I still think they're going to be really good.
Yeah, both safeties are gone.
Both safeties are gone.
Their wide receiving room may be one of the worst in the NFL.
The Dolphins, still a very high-octane offense, but you lose a guy like Christian Wilkins. What the Dolphins and Bills presented last year, even if it's not a major step back, they will come back to the pack, even that little bit that could help the Jets kind of bridge whatever could be missing.
Yeah, and that whole Patriots will lose to us mentality, which is now over, obviously. Yeah.
Over!
But Jared Mayo's a first-time head coach. Yep. Maybe going to have a rookie quarterback starting.
Well, Drake made today in practice, if this makes you feel better, Evan. You like negative Patriot news?
Yeah, I actually live for negative Patriot news.
Six or eight dropbacks and 11-on-11 sacked on five of them.
So bad offensive line, bad defense, head coach.
The one thing I'll warn you about, like, we were here today at Jet practice, and we watched a little bit of it. Tiki was down on the field hobnobbing with Woody Johnson, by the way, to give you any interesting information.
No, we just chat.
Will he?
I told him I was coming over for the Giant Jet practice.
Oh, nice.
He said, you going to stay on our sideline?
Oh, come on. Look at him recruiting.
No chance.
Why? You're a big Jet fan, as I held up the Breece Hall picture. Is Woody taking a job in the new administration if Trump wins? That's what I'm very curious about.
You know what?
Did you ask him?
I didn't ask him that.
Oh.
What do you want me to say? Let's have a Trump conversation real quick. If he wins, are you going back?
Well, it's not a Trump conversation. It's a Woody conversation. I just want to know, do we get rid of the owner temporarily?
Why would you want to get rid of the owner?
I just want to know. I'm not even telling you I want to get rid of him.
I
Christopher
think,
Woody, I mean, whatever.
To be fair, Antique, you saw this. You were talking to him. I think the hat takes him out of consideration. That was a rough bucket hat he was wearing.
What'd you think of the bucket hat?
It was like three times too big.
You guys were sitting up here under the shade.
Yeah.
I was standing in the beaming sunlight. I wish I had a bucket hat.
But that bucket hat was like a pop-up hat.
I might have even put on a Jet bucket hat if I would have had one.
I'm sure you would.
Because it was hot as hell.
Yes. I'm starting to feel it now. We've got this great setup on a deck here at Florham Park. And when we first got here, we're in the shade. We got this beautiful umbrella thing, whatever the heck you
call
it.
It's a tent, Evan.
A tent.
Umbrella thing.
It's wonderful. And SNY's got the cameras. Everything's beautiful. And it felt good. But as the day has gone on, now, Sean, leave you a little solar lesson. It's not the sun moving. The sun stays in the same spot.
Earth.
But the earth is moving. Earth. And because of that, as Tiki pointed out, to our backs is the west.
Technically, both are moving at astronomically fast speed.
The sun isn't moving.
Absolutely, it is.
What?
The sun is moving within the galaxy.
No, you're wrong. The sun stays still, and the moon and the earth goes around the sun.
No, it doesn't.
The sun doesn't move.
Okay, so
Galileo taught us that years ago.
Galileo thought Earth was at the sun.
Oh, that's right. He screwed up.
The sun is moving like this, and the earth is swirling around it while the sun is also moving.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
How do we properly judge light years if we can't judge how fast the sun's moving?
What do you mean?
That's a dumb question. Stop it.
Light years are based on the sun not moving.
No, it's based on amount of time light takes to travel.
From the sun.
So if it was dark, pitch black out here, and someone was standing at that tree.
Okay.
Right? That beautiful tree, which is gorgeous. It's cut. Everything else is cut around on the practice field.
It's a very nice tree. It's a tree.
Gorgeous tree.
In the middle of the practice field makes no sense to me, by the way.
But I think it's been here for so long, 200 plus years. They didn't name the tree, but it's awesome if you ever come over here. But if someone turned on a light, it would take, it would travel to your eye at 182,000 miles per second.
Why'd you ask the question?
For this reason.
182,000 miles per second. Yeah. Actually, I think it's 182,286.
For the record, you have that memorized. Evan does not know his wife's phone number.
But so it happens like that.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
So light travels quickly. Sound travels slower. It's like a quarter of a mile. per second. So that's why you see the lightning before you hit.
All I wanted to say was the west is to our back, so the sun is now burning like the back of our necks. That's all I was going to say. Yes, it takes sun a certain amount of time to travel. Sunlight. All I know is it's turning into a very hot day. Real quick, because we do have another Jet coming up, the great Morgan Moses, who the Jets acquired during the offseason, and will be the starting right tackle for this team. He'll join us coming up a little after 5 o'clock, as well as a Cinco de 5-0. We touched on earlier Jason Dominguez. At least you brought his name up.
That's right.
As you'd rather see him up here than Alex Verdugo. So two things. Brian Cashman over the weekend made the comment that Jason Dominguez is ready and that there's no lane for him at the major league level. So I want to examine this real quick. First of all, there is a lane for him at the major league level. I disagree with Brian Cashman. And that lane is the same lane that could have been thrown in back in April if Jason Dominguez was healthy this season. And that is forcing Alex Verdugo to be a platoon player.
Yep.
Giancarlo Stanton already is a part-time player because they need to keep him healthy. So between Verdugo sitting against lefties, because he doesn't hit lefties very well, between Stanton not playing every day, there is definitely an avenue for Jason Dominguez to be up here and play four times a week. And oh, by the way, if he performs better than Alex Verdugo, even takes at-bats away from Verdugo when there isn't a lefty on the mound. So I would say to Brian Cashman, your lane argument is not true. At least I don't agree with it, because that was always the lane for Jason Dominguez.
We're out here at Jets training camp. We're going to talk to Morgan Moses in a couple minutes. What do they usually say about offensive linemen? Get your best five out there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Is Jason Dominguez likely one of the best nine out there for the Yankees if he's healthy?
Well, there's a caveat to all of this.
Okay, which would be position in all of that?
No.
No, okay.
There's another caveat.
40 man?
It's not about the four. It's not about roster. It's actually a very simple thing that I do want to bring up.
All right.
Because we've got to take this piece by piece. Is there a lane for Jason Dominguez to play? Do we all agree that there would be?
Yeah. Yes. As long as DJ LeMahieu is taking at-bats on this team, I have a hard time thinking there's not a lane for Jason Dominguez to take at-bats.
Okay. We all agree on that.
All right.
Here's the second part that you should be aware of. And tell me if this matters to you. I'm just giving you the information. Jason Dominguez is not hitting in the minor leagues. Mm. He's not. He's just not.
So you're saying if it's worth it because there is a lane, but it might not be worth it because he's going to come up here and not be as effective as he could be.
Yeah, I think that what Brian said about there not being a lane, I disagree with. I don't think it's true. I think we can all understand, that's not true what he said.
Yeah.
But the second part that needs to be brought up, we can't just ignore it, is that Jason Dominguez is not hitting in the minor leagues. So are you okay with calling up a guy who's not hitting and saying, go play, maybe you'll hit here?
I think maybe he says that because he's trying to protect the confidence of Jason Dominguez.
Yeah, why rip him and say he's struggling?
Exactly. He's not playing well enough for us to come up here. I mean, that would be, to bring him up here, that would be demeaning to him. And that's the last thing you want to do.
It's also true right now, though.
Of course it's true, but you don't need to tell the truth. You just need to, you need to protect the psyche of your young player.
You could frame it. He's missed a lot of baseball this year. He's trying to work through some things. We're still uber confident. When he's ready to go, we'll bring him up. You don't have to just say there's no avenue, because here's the problem with him not hitting. And I know that he's had, better days over the last 2 weeks. Alex Verdugo, for the better part of this season, has not hit either.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's where I stop all the nonsense and go, I saw Dominguez at this time last year hit for this Yankee team against Major League pitching. I'm fine with – I would rather watch Jason Dominguez struggle than Alex Verdugo.
Well, that's the decision I want you to answer.
Yeah.
So you're saying it doesn't matter that he's hitting about 180 in AAA. Call him up. Maybe he's bored down there. Maybe after getting the taste of Major League Baseball action last year, he don't need to prove himself.
Well, he could also get hot versus AAA pitching and then suddenly get called up then, and then he struggles at that adjustment. So if he's struggling now, I already know he can hit Major League pitching. I'd rather see him work through it up here. I really would.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think the challenge, with that is that if he comes up and he doesn't hit, and he just kind of feels like it's a wasted trip up, then Yankee fans get even more upset.
Yeah,
and I think the reality, this is just from an old school managing a roster standpoint. Verdugo's a veteran,
right?
Jason Dominguez is not, and so at some point, who do you trust more? Yeah. Especially if they're both kind of underperforming, you know what I mean? You're
going
to trust the veteran more.
There's also something else that's at play, which I don't think Brian Cashman would admit, but I'm pretty sure is in play. If you Google the new CBA, if Jason Dominguez is called up prior to September 1st, he could lose his rookie status for next season, which may bother a Yankee fan who wants him to see win Rookie of the Year. But you're also awarded with extra draft picks when a guy wins Rookie of the Year under the new CBA rules. So Jason Dominguez being kept down for just another couple of weeks may also be because of that. Now, does any Yankee fan want to hear that?
No.
No.
Even though you're probably right.
Even though I'm probably right.
And if that was told to me, a Yankee fan, you know what? I'd be further in favor of it.
Really?
I would.
You know
would
what? Be okay with that?
Unless he was making it so impossible, because he was ranking in minor leagues.
Right.
It's so impossible not to have him up, given the struggles of other guys that he could, you know, replace. Then there's just no way you can account for that.
I'm irrational. I'm illogical. But I am sensible. And if that is really the path and they want more draft picks and we'll have them win Rookie of the Year next year, I can live with that.
Well, because also means
by the way, you'd get on board for that
if
it was expressed that way.
Yes.
It's never going to be expressed that way.
Of course.
Again, that's kind of like, sorry, Jason.
Well, then you're already starting a sour note with Dominguez for future negotiations.
It's also, if you're getting him in September, isn't that really all that matters?
Yeah, it gives you a full month to get ready.
It's not like he's going to stay in the minor leagues forever. Like, he's going to come up at some point.
And by the way, he should want that more. I think about it. Right? He should want to be a rookie and still want to try to win Rookie.
No, because if you get rid of your rookie status, you get to free agency quicker.
Yeah,
and if you get to free agency quicker, you get paid, baby.
True, but I mean, if he does what he's supposed to do, and
he'll get paid anyway.
He'll get paid anyway.
Well, you never know. I mean, think about Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso would have been another year of team control with the Mets if the Mets had left him in the minor leagues instead of calling him up right away in 2019. And right now, Pete's not having a great year. He may not get paid. But if he's coming off a monster year, he would get paid. So sometimes when it comes to getting paid in free agency, it's about the right time. Either way, Yankees do play the White Sox tonight. Their lineup is not out. The one thing to keep an eye on when we see the New York Yankee lineup is if Jazz Chisholm is in it, because Jazz got hurt last night on a slide to the plate. I know the initial returns, I think he had an MRI or had some imaging, has come back clean. So it appears like it's not going to be a significant injury for Jazz, and it better not be. Because say what you want about some of his struggles defensively recently, Jazz Chisholm has been awesome offensively. He's given this team a spark and has changed the complexion of this lineup.
Even the play he gets hurt on last night, he created his own run.
Yeah.
Steals second, comes around to third, blows off. He wasn't even waiting for Rojas to wave him in, goes home. It's multiple times already this year that he's created runs for this Yankee team, which was something so lacking earlier in the year.
No doubt. They need him. We'll get to the Mets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also breaking news, Sam Rosen is going to retire at the end of next year, according to Andrew Marchand.
Yeah, so this will be the 40th year of Sam Rosen calling Ranger games. He's the only voice of the Rangers I've ever known. 40th
year.
And you know what that means.
They're going to win the cup.
They cannot not win the cup. Sam Rosen's final year broadcasting games.
All right,
he did once say this one will last a lifetime.
I don't need any of that other nonsense this year.
No, it's all about winning for Sam.
Exactly.
No more 94.
I don't need any of the...
We're planting
the
flag
year
now.
After 94, and because of, I don't know, some time vortex, it goes back to what we talked about last year.
That's
last
year's gimmick.
Win it for Sam.
Win it for Sam. And they are the uncrowned champions of hockey entering this year.
When we come back, Morgan Moses of the New York Jets will also take a listen to a Cinco de Five-O from Sean Morash, a top five list. Plus, the importance of this week for the New York Mets as they get set to welcome in the Oakland Athletics. All coming up live from Jet Camp. Evan and Tiki right here on The Fan.
Days over the last 2 weeks, Alex Verdugo for the better part of this season has not hit either.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, to me, that's where I stop all the nonsense and go. I saw Dominguez at this time last year hit for this Yankee team against major league pitching. I'm fine with. I would rather watch Jason Dominguez struggle than Alex Verdugo.
Well, that's the decision I want you to answer.
Yeah.
So you're saying it doesn't matter that he's hitting about 180 in AAA. Call him up. Maybe he's bored down there. Maybe after getting the taste of major league baseball action last year, he don't need to prove himself.
Well, he could also get hot versus AAA pitching and then suddenly get called up then, and then he struggles at that adjustment. So if he's struggling now, I already know he can hit major league pitching. I'd rather see him work through it up here. I really would.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think the challenge you know, with that is that if he comes up and he doesn't hit and he just kind of feels like it's a wasted trip up, then Yankee fans get even more upset.
Yeah.
And I think the reality, this is just from an old-school managing, a roster standpoint. Verdugo's a veteran.
Right.
Jason Dominguez is not. And so, at some point, who do you trust more? Especially if they're both kind of underperforming. You know what I mean? You're
going
to trust the veteran more.
There's also something else that's at play, which I don't think Brian Cashman would admit.
but I'm pretty sure is in play if you Google the new CBA. If Jason Dominguez is called up prior to September 1st, he could lose his rookie status for next season, which may bother a Yankee fan who wants him to see win Rookie of the Year. But you're also awarded with extra draft picks when a guy wins Rookie of the Year under the new CBA rules. So Jason Dominguez being kept down for just another couple of weeks may also be because of that. Now, does any Yankee fan want to hear that?
No.
No.
Even though you're probably right.
Even though I'm probably right.
And if that was told to me, Yankee fans, you know what? I'd be further in favor of it.
Really?
I would.
You
know
would
what?
Be okay with that?
Unless he was making it so impossible, because he was raking in minor leagues.
Right.
And so impossible not to have him up, given the struggles of other guys that he could, you know, replace. Then there's no way you can account for that.
I'm irrational. I'm illogical. But I am sensible. And if that is really the path, and they want more draft picks, and we'll have him win Rookie of the Year next year, I can live with that.
Well, because it also means,
by the way, you'd get on board for that
if it was
expressed that way.
Yes.
It's never going to be expressed that way.
Of course.
Again, that's kind of like, sorry, Jason.
Well, then you're already starting to, sour note with Dominguez for future negotiations.
It's also, if you're getting him in September, isn't that really all that matters?
Yeah, gives you a full month to get ready.
It's not like he's going to stay in the minor leagues forever. Like, he's going to come up at some point.
And by the way, he should want that more, I think about it. Right? He should want to be a rookie and still want to try to win Rookie
of the Year. Because if you get rid of your rookie status, you get to free agency quicker.
Yeah,
and if you get to free agency quicker, you get paid, baby.
True, but I mean, if he does what he's supposed to do, and
he'll get paid anyway.
He'll get paid anyway.
Well, you never know. I mean, think about Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso would have been another year of team control with the Mets if the Mets had left him in the minor leagues instead of calling him up right away in 2019. And right now, Pete's not having a great year. He may not get paid. But if he's coming off a monster year, he would get paid. So sometimes when it comes to getting paid in free agency, it's about the right time. Either way, Yankees do play the White Sox tonight. Their lineup is not out. The one thing to keep an eye on when we see the New York Yankee lineup is if Jazz Chisholm is in it, because Jazz got hurt last night on a slide to the plate. I know the initial returns, I think he had an MRI or had some imaging, has come back clean. So it appears like it's not going to be a significant injury for Jazz, and it better not be. Because say what you want about some of his struggles defensively recently, Jazz Chisholm has been awesome offensively. He's given this team a spark and has changed the complexion of this lineup.
Even the play he gets hurt on last night, he created his own run.
Yeah.
Steals second, comes around to third, blows off. He wasn't even waiting for Rojas to wave him in, goes home. It's multiple times already this year that he's created runs for this Yankee team, which was something so lacking earlier in the year.
No doubt. They need him. We'll get to the Mets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also breaking news, Sam Rosen is going to retire at the end of next year, according to Andrew Marchand.
Yeah, so this will be the 40th year of Sam Rosen calling Ranger games. He's the only voice of the Rangers I've ever known.
40th year.
40th year, and you know what that means.
They're going to win the Cup.
They cannot not win the Cup. Sam Rosen's final year broadcasting games.
Right,
he did once say this one will last a lifetime.
I don't need any of that other nonsense this year.
No, it's all about winning for Sam. No more 94.
I don't need any of the...
We're planting
the year
now.
After 94, and because of, I don't know, some time vortex, it goes back to what we talked about last year.
That's last year's gimmick.
Win it for Sam.
Win it for Sam. And they are the uncrowned champions of hockey entering this year.
When we come back, Morgan Moses of the New York Jets will also take a listen to a Cinco de Five-O from Sean Morash, a top five list. Plus, the importance of this week for the New York Mets as they get set to welcome in the Oakland Athletics. All coming up live from Jet Camp, Evan and Tiki, right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.